This is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds, and we're going to follow up on Amy Radel's story about jobs in biotech. With us, Luke Timmerman, National Biotech Editor at Exconomy. It's the online business and technology blog. He recently wrote an article titled, Don't Be Naive, Seven Things to Know Before You Take a Biotech Startup Job. Thanks so much for stopping by, Luke.
Great to be here. Thanks, Ross.
Now, biotech has always been really speculative, hasn't it? I mean, you get a hit and bang, you're rolling in it, but you get a lot of misses before you get the hit. Has there been a reluctance to invest in biotech in the post-recession era? Is that kind of what's led to the slack in that field?
I think that's right. It has always been a speculative business. So you go in with an idea about a new way of developing drugs, and you have to spend a lot of money and a lot of time to find out if you're right. And so what's happened is that over the history of biotech, people have realized, investors, that it takes a lot longer and a lot more money, and there are worse odds of success than they thought. So it's turned off a lot of investors.
Yeah. So, and investors are not always a patient lot when it comes to biotech. We've seen that. Also, of course, government cutbacks are a factor. And you were telling me some of the companies have just stumbled, too. They haven't moved forward. And that's another cause of some of the cutbacks in jobs in this area.
That's right. There are a couple things. I mean, there have been acquisitions of companies that have been successful here in the area. And sometimes those acquiring companies from elsewhere retain a research and development presence here in Seattle. Other times, they downsize it. But more recently, one of the companies here locally that a lot of people had high hopes for, a company named Dendrion, stumbled in the marketplace, was unable to sell as much of its prostate cancer drug as analysts expected, and as a result, laid off several hundred people. And what happened in a place like Seattle that doesn't quite have the critical mass of a surrounding biotech cluster like you might see in Boston or San Francisco is that many of those people are unable to find jobs at other local companies, and so they have to move elsewhere.
Well, of course, South Lake Union was going to be the biotech center, and there was a lot of high hopes in recent years about building up that business here. Has it achieved what we had hoped it would?
I would say no. The last couple of governor administrations, Locke and Gregoire, really talked up the promise of biotech in South Lake Union. And what you see there now is that Amazon has been the anchor tenant, if you will, that's really revitalized that neighborhood. Seattle just hasn't produced an anchor tenant on that level in biotech.
Has it been for a lack of state support, or is it just happenstance that it hasn't caught on the way that it should? Because it is a highly speculative business, and it's really a long shot sometimes to make these companies work.
I'd say happenstance is a big part of it. Sometimes you need to get lucky. Yeah. But one of the companies referenced in the earlier segment, Immunex, developed one of the top five most successful drugs in the world today. It's called Enbrel, and that drug was acquired by a company called Amgen, which retained a presence here in the Seattle area. But most of the jobs, most of the people associated with that very successful drug are elsewhere.
I want to talk about this article that you wrote, Don't Be Naive, Seven Things to Know Before You Take a Biotech Startup Job. Well, first of all, are people being naive about these jobs?
I think what you often find, particularly with young scientists, is they have to focus so hard for so long to become an expert in a very narrow discipline of, say, molecular biology or biochemistry, that by the time they're in their early 30s and they're a postdoc and it's time for them to get a job, they don't have a very good sense of who out there in the industry might need or want someone with their skills. And they aren't networked. They don't have personal relationships with people at those companies. So it becomes very difficult for them to latch on in one of those jobs.
Do they also have to have kind of a broad business savvy to know that this is a company that not only has a job for me, but also is going to be a solid company?
That's right. I think more people are becoming a little more savvy, looking at things like how much cash does the company have? Because again, this is a speculative venture. It doesn't have recurring profits to support the payroll.
Well, quite to the contrary. Oftentimes, they're going deep into debt for quite a few years.
Right. So you need to ask yourself, how much venture capital has this company raised? How fast is it spending it? How long can this enterprise continue on at its current rate before it sort of flips over the card, if you will, to find out that it's a success or not?
Wow. Burn rates, reading a financial report, those are things that scientists are not necessarily taught about.
That's right. You don't learn that in graduate school.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that you advise people to do if they're thinking about starting with a biotech startup job, both to get the job and also to make sure it's a job with legs?
Well, it's a bit self-serving, but I think staying current and reading the news about companies, the ones that have raised some money or the ones that have run into roadblocks and had layoffs, if you have a good working understanding of who's up and who's down, that can really be helpful. The other thing I tell a lot of people who ask is to really be serious about your networking. So if, say, your expertise is in a field called RNA interference, find out who those leading companies are in that sub-discipline within biotech and try to arrange meetings with some of the executives there and figure out what it is you have to offer them. So if, for example, in that case, drug delivery is one of the big stumbling blocks. That is one of the big technical challenges all the companies are facing. If you happen to be at a lab, and I know there are some here at the University of Washington, that is working on trying to solve that problem, by all means, try to arrange a meeting with one of those companies, those executives. Chances are they will consider that a good fit, and they would love to hear you out.
A few things to keep in mind if you're a postdoc or if you're looking for a job at a biotech startup company. Luke Timmerman, thanks for telling us about them.
Great for being here.
Luke's the national biotech editor at Exconomy, which is a great read. It's an online business and technology blog. Check it out if you have not before.